There are so many reasons why Honolulu should be one of the world's most bicycle-friendly cities, and so many reasons why it isn't. Bicycle paths are sparse and intermittent. Competition from cars during busy times of the day is intense. Cars dominate the traffic landscape in town, but the situation is changing. 3 months along, the new Biki Bike Share program has resulted in more than 180,000 rides. We want to get your perspective on the program and on bicycling in general, along with your questions for our guests. Joining me and News Director Bill Dorman in our studio are Lori McCarney, Executive Director of Biki Bike Share Hawaii, and Brandon Barber, Vice President of Operations for the Waikiki Business Improvement District Association. The number we're asking you to call on Oahu is 941-3689. On Neighbor Islands, it's 877-941-3689. And we really do want listeners to weigh in on this conversation. But first, let me say good morning to Lori.
Good morning.
Bill and Brandon.
Good morning.
Was that? Do you agree with that, that we really have a lot of reasons to be a much more bicycle-friendly city?
Yes, we do, and I also agree that we have a lot of reasons why maybe we haven't been seen as many people riding on bikes. Your comments about bike infrastructure and what have you were certainly not up there with some of the other cities where we see a lot of bicycle usage. Mm-hmm. But you know, we have other factors that make it a great place to bike. I mean, weather.
Yeah, number one, right? No argument there.
Yeah. Although it's funny in some of the European cities, they bike pretty consistently year-round, no matter what the weather is.
Copenhagen.
It's very interesting. They say there's no bad bicycling weather, only bad bicycling clothes. And so, but here I think what we've discovered with Biki so far is there are a lot of people who would like to bike. You know, because we're seeing more than 2,100 trips every day now. Some days a little bit higher. Yesterday was over 2,200, and some days a little bit lower. And where were those people? They weren't on bikes before.
Yeah. And your initial target was 2,000 rides a day. That was what you had said would show that it was a success.
Yeah. Just trying to look at metrics of what other cities do. Mm-hmm. They usually take the number of bikes and then put a multiplier on it and say, boy, if we can get two rides per day, that would be great. Some cities are less than one. Los Angeles is one of those places. And then some places are well above five. When you get to New York and some places. So we just said we don't know exactly what will happen here because, as we said, there's some pros and some cons, but let's just sort of set that as initial benchmark and just see how we do on that, and then we'll set it up higher.
Brandon, what's your take on this? What do you see, what evidence have you seen of Biki in Waikiki in the last 3 months?
Well, as an organization, the Waikiki Business Improvement District Association, we're all for providing enhanced experience in Waikiki, and we think Biki is there's definitely a place for Biki in Waikiki. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that this week the numbers that Biki released regarding membership and usage has shown a significant number of potential visitors using the bike share. Mm-hmm. And we do say that in Waikiki as well, is that we've seen Biki on the roadways and the multiple bike lanes that we do have on Kalakaua and Alawai, and that there is a need for it in Waikiki. In talking with Lori in the past and also in some of the news articles, some of the busiest stations are in Waikiki. So there's definitely, there was a need there that's been tapped into with Biki.
Let me just interject real quickly. We want listeners to call in, so let me give those numbers real quick. 941-3689 on Oahu, 877-941-3689. This is not the pledge drive. This is the conversation, and we're going to be soliciting your calls, your opinions. We want to know what your experience has been to weave into all this. But, Laura, you were telling me, for instance, about a typical time when you might take a bike around town and how it actually getting around in the urban core can actually be easier on a bike, can't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting because you think that a car should be faster than a bike to get places. But what you forget about sometimes is parking garages, traffic lights, some of the things that slow you down. I did a little experiment this morning. I usually take Biki to work, but today I wasn't sure how I was going to get different places, and I didn't want to be late today, so I took my car from home, which is downtown, to Ala Moana and Ward. On Beeky, it takes me about 9 minutes to get there. That's when I close my door of my apartment and then when I walk in to the office. Mm-hmm. And I use my car today. And so I left, and what I hadn't thought about is you take the elevator down, then you walk to your car in the parking garage, then you get your car out of the parking garage, and then you get out to the street, and you wait till you can, you know, it's like all of these different things.
And find a parking place if you're lucky.
And then look for a parking place. And then it took me 11 minutes, which maybe is only 2 minutes, but it's just one of those things where you go, it was...
It's a thing where you go,
Yeah, sort of surprising. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing. We're seeing people use it, use Beeky when they, to replace a trip that they were going to take by a car or to take a new trip. If you're somewhere where you walk to lunch, you know, that you work somewhere in at your office or wherever your place of work is, you'd go to lunch. It's usually within a block. And now what we're seeing is people will take Beeky because now it's expanded their universe for where it is they can go and opened up neighborhoods for them.
Let's bring a caller in on the line. This is Gary from Hilo, who I suspect is a bicycle advocate. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. Is it Bill?
Chris.
Oh, hi, Chris.
Well, Bill's here, too.
Yeah,
but
hi. I couldn't wait to talk to your people about my situation here in Hilo. Uh-huh. I moved here 2.5 years ago from Santa Cruz, which is a big bike-friendly town, and I became car-free about 8 months ago for the second time, and I'm going to go a whole year and hopefully for the rest of my life not owning a car.
Wow.
I am 73 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
I just love not driving my car, and I love riding my bike.
So it's really changed the way you go about your daily life, huh?
Yeah, and I just want to comment on a few things that will maybe increase the bike lanes and bike safety and public awareness about cycling. And I've written a letter to the editor about getting doored. And the reason I sometimes ride in the middle of the street, and much people who are speeding down in their vehicles don't like that, but I don't want to get doored. So that's one thing. That was the subject of one of my letters to the editor in the Herald Tribune here in Hilo.
Well, Gary, that kind of dovetails with what another caller is saying. Let me bring in a caller named Tom from Honolulu, because he called to express some concerns about bicycle safety. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What were your concerns? You mentioned you had some.
Well, my main concern is I'm a driver, car driver, and also I supplement that with bike riding. But my main issue is safety. Bikes and cars don't mix. And if you go to a lot of other cities in the world where they've been successful at getting a lot of people on bikes, they have a lot more in the way of bike paths that are physically separate and moved away from the roadways. In Honolulu, the bike path on King Street is a good start. But other than that, and there's one on that runs along the Mauka side of the Alawai Canal, that's another good one. But other than that, there are huge gaps where you're putting your life at risk if you're trying to get from one place to another on a bike.
Lori, you've run into that discussion before?
Oh, certainly. One of our missions, our goals for Beeky is to help create the demand for more bike infrastructure. As you know, with the King Street protected bike lane, when that got in, there was a lot of pushback because hardly anybody biked. And so when you see people starting to have the experience on a bike and asking for safer places to bike, then that helps create the atmosphere for the political will to do it. Regarding safety in general, it's proven in a lot of different research studies that the more people there are on bikes, the safer it is for people on bikes. I know I bike a lot also, and I know there's certain places where I know if people expect to see a bike, I'm safer than if I'm in somewhere riding where they don't expect to see bikes.
Yeah.
And so as we have more people on bikes, and I do ride in the lane, that's the safest place to ride in traffic, is not to the side where people think they can squeeze by, mm-hmm. But where you're most visible and part of traffic flow.
That's what the law provides. That's what the law tells you.
The law does say that.
But also the mm-hmm. reality is bikes on sidewalks, and bikes on sidewalks have increased yeah. as Beaky has increased its presence in Honolulu.
I think the visibility of bikes on sidewalks has become more apparent. Yes, there are Beaky riders on sidewalks, and some places on sidewalks is okay. It's a unique situation about where you can bike on a sidewalk and where you can't. There are certain places like downtown Chinatown, Waikiki, but there are other places where it's okay. So it's a somewhat of a confusing message.
It's okay, but not legal, right?
No, it's legal in many places to ride on the sidewalks.
So it goes district by district or neighborhood
yeah,
by neighborhood?
Yeah, I'm not the total expert on that.
That's fairly confusing.
It is fairly confusing. So we try to communicate that in downtown Chinatown and in Waikiki, it is not legal to ride on a sidewalk. But, for example, Ala Moana Boulevard, much of it is very wide sidewalk. It's not a friendly place to ride your bike. It is legal to ride your bike on that sidewalk. The main point that I want to make is that we do support the idea of more bike lanes. We know that's what's going to increase more bike ridership because more people will ride if they feel safe.
Brandon, your Kuleana is the most densely populated part of Hawaii, right? Waikiki.
Correct.
What's the bike lane situation there now, and how often do you see bikes on the sidewalks?
Well, currently there's only two dedicated bike lanes in Waikiki, and they're both one-way lanes. You have a bike lane on Kalakaua Avenue on the Makai side running from Ewa to Diamond Head, and then the reverse flow on Alawai, so it's sort of the commuting back and forth within Waikiki. Mm-hmm. Prior to Beaky, we've seen bikes on the sidewalks on a regular basis. Through our programs, we provide a hospitality and safety program where we have Aloha ambassadors that are on foot patrol and bike patrol themselves, operating in Waikiki, primarily in Kalakaua and Kuhio Avenues. And they're there to address these type of safety concerns. So as we observe people with bikes on the sidewalks prior to Beaky and also with some of the Beaky riders themselves, we take it upon ourselves to engage them, address the unique laws for not being able to ride on bikes in Waikiki, the ability to use the roadways, and try to ensure that they have a safe experience while they're in Waikiki.
And what about, I'm just curious, in terms of the business side or impact on businesses in Waikiki that do bike rentals since yeah. Beaky has come along? What's up with that?
So as an organization, we aren't directly represent specific business interests. Mm-hmm. We have a Waikiki Improvement Association. There's a Chamber of Commerce of Hawaii, the Hawaii Lodging Tourism Association. They're much more engaged with the day-to-day interactions of business. We provide, through our assessments on property in Waikiki, we fund services to enhance Waikiki. Mm-hmm. So all of the complaints that we've received either through understanding through the media or kind of third party. So we know they're out there, but we've been very impressed with Beaky's response to address the complaints head on and be proactive with working with our community, our business interests, in addressing the siting locations or just bike laws in general.
Here's a call on the line from Dave in Waikiki, who's a Beaky user. Dave, you want to weigh in on this? Or can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi, Dave. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Just as a quick prelude into what I was going to say is I owned the bike and rode it on the mainland 20 years before. I've been out here 20 years now. I've never really felt like I wanted to ride a bike out here for other methods of transportation. But now with the bike lane to the Beaky, I love riding it. And so anyways, I just wanted to say that before I brought up my question. The last bike stop before in Waikiki is near the zoo, and I was just wondering why there's not one at the aquarium. The aquarium was originally built in 1904 as the last stop of the trolley, so that people would ride the trolley the whole way out. And so I thought it'd be really natural, actually, for Beaky to have their last stop in Waikiki to also be the aquarium there, and I was just wondering why.
Well, you know, it's like that's not an easy answer. I think in general, we would like to have more presence in Kapi'olani Park. We know a lot of people go to Kaimana Beach, go to the aquarium, go to the tennis courts, go to the Shell. We can't place our stations anywhere we like. There's a process for us to go through in order to do that. And right now, we do not have the permission to put a Beaky Stop at the aquarium. But we are having those conversations about those and other ones around Kapi'olani Park. We know there's a lot of people who are sort of locked in as you get around the Gold Coast area and what have you, where parking is tight for residents and what have you. And so we're working on that, and totally agree with you.
Here's a caller, Mike from Honolulu. Mike, if you're on the line, says he's happy that Beaky came to Hawaii concerned about infrastructure issues. Mike, what issues are you talking about?
I think it was mentioned by previous callers too, how we have a majority of bike lanes that either dead end in places or not sufficient. So I think I appreciate the Beaky coming into place, and I think we need good leadership in the public sector to promote bike, to continue that. I guess some of the comments, I think that good that the Beaky, that the company is looking at being sensitive to businesses or owners when they place the station. I'm also concerned about the presence of biking that creates a bad name when people are either going the wrong directions or on sidewalks, about that education piece to where that needs to be emphasized, particularly in YPP, because a lot of tourists, I think, have no idea that where the appropriate places are or what's not allowed. There really is no sign that I see just on Kalakaua.
Well, Mike, you raise an interesting point, which is that there's a whole education component to all this, right?
Yeah, there's education, and we are working with the Hawaii Bicycling League on, we call it Beaky Bicycling Basics, where we invite people to come in for free for 2 hours, and the first part is talking about refreshing biking skills, rules of the road, how to ride safely in traffic and whatever, and then we go on a bike ride. And so if anybody's interested in that, they should go to the Hawaii Bicycling League website and look for Beaky Bicycling Basics. We have those ongoing. So, and then other education, we're always happy, along with them, to come out to any groups who would like us to come out and perhaps go through those same things with them.
I want to circle back, Lori, to something you said a little bit earlier, which is that by creating the demand, that creates incentives for government to, you know, create more bike lanes, to improve the infrastructure. Government has a way of operating perhaps a little more slowly than one might hope, and projects of this kind can take a while. You know, as bicycle uses increases, what's the likelihood that, you know, government can keep up? I mean, it takes a lot to create a bike lane. There are only so many, especially in Waikiki, the road's only so wide, right? So how realistic is it to expect that government will kind of catch up with demand if demand and bicycle usage increases?
You know, it's interesting. You can look at pictures of Copenhagen 40 years ago, and it was jammed with cars. Okay, so, and you say, well, I wonder, now you go and it's jammed with bikes.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Well, it actually happened over a long period of time, and it was like you get to a tipping point where you have enough people who say that I want a bike, that it accelerates it. The fewer people you have, the slower it will be.
Yeah.
And so that's where Beaky comes in and getting more people on bikes. I do think that we're not looking at 40 years here to make that change. When I signed up for this, I said, I'm not going to look back for 10 years. Because I think it's sometimes it's about how do you get the ball rolling? The city has the intention and the desire to put in bike lanes and plans for that. So we work with them, too, because we want to help. They look at our data to see where people are riding and where the demand looks like, and that helps inform then for them where bike infrastructure adding that would help. So I think working hand in hand, and now because Beaky is a data-based program, you know, before it was just sort of anecdotal. How did you know where people were? But because the bikes check into stations and you know how many people came from here and there and went to there, you know, that kind of information then helps government or people that are working on things have some data.
And so 3 months in, and you mentioned the 2,000 rides a day based on the number of bicycles you have, are there plans to increase? When do the next load of bike racks come? Do you know where you want to put them? How's that process going?
So funding, there's two different costs, like with anything that's a transportation system. There's the capital cost for the equipment. We know that from rail. And then there's the operations costs. From a capital cost standpoint, we do have some federal TAP funding. TAP stands for Transportation Alternative Program funding that is targeted to us, but we need to come up with match funds, and so we need financial support and what have you, and a structure to help make that capital, a purchase of equipment possible. The areas that we would like to reach would be some fill-in in our current place, current footprint, which is from Kapahulu to River Street. But then from there, you just sort of expand out from where we are. So thinking about Iwale and Kalihi, we have a desire to help serve and make sure that we're serving underserved populations. And then up above H1, Mauka of H1, the Makiki, Mo'ili'ili, Makali, UH corridor, where we have a lot of people who parking is tight, so putting stations in is going to be, you know, take a lot of community conversations, what have you. But in that area, bike share is ideal, I think, for moving people from up there into town and from those neighborhoods into and through UH. And then the other place would be, as an earlier caller mentioned, would be around Kapi'olani Park and in that general area.
Let's bring in a caller of Shun from Honolulu. It connects to what we've just been discussing. Shun, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
What was it, the issue that you were raising?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that Beaky is a great program, and I think it's awesome that you guys are talking about how to bring attention to the city and the state as an incentive. But I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, moving to the university area and putting in stations there will be a huge benefit, at least to traffic in this area. And I think that's a really great idea if you guys expand in that way. A lot of the commuters to the university area come within a couple-mile radius of the actual campus itself, so that will have a huge impact in the long run for both reducing traffic and also increasing the feedback effect of having people transition from automobiles to bicycles.
Thanks very much, Shun, for your call. Let me just interject. The phone numbers we're asking you to call are 941-3689, if you're on the neighbor islands or anywhere else, 1-877-941-3689, and please do weigh in on this discussion. But it's quite clear to the assembled company, we've just from the sheer volume of calls, this is close to a lot of people's hearts and the way they live their lives in this city, right?
I think it's when you live in a city, you sort of want to experience a city. And also, it's very expensive to live here. I have three sons, and I think, what would bring them back here? They want to live in a city. They want to walk places, get by bike. They can't afford, you know, a car and all of those things. And I think helping to create that atmosphere of and vibrancy in a community is something that more walking and biking can help. Because more biking, the protected bike lanes that you talk about actually not only protect cyclists, but they protect pedestrians. And I think it helps us to slow people down. You know, we have on cars now, everything's getting faster and faster, and everybody's moving at the speed of light and texting at the same time, for heaven's sake, sometimes. But slowing people down and getting more people back on the sidewalks and on bikes will help improve safety for everybody.
Brandon, what if Waikiki, in a perfect world, became, you know, a car-free area? You could just bike everywhere. Waikiki isn't that long, you know. It's would seem to be feasible. Is that even realistic as a kind of pipe dream? Would it work?
I mean, it'd be hard to make that happen. I think it'd be an interesting project to look at it. You know, we not just with bikes and pedestrian traffic, but we have the way the properties are set up in Waikiki. You have a lot of deliveries that come down on Kalakaua Avenue, so you'd have to address that type of issue moving forward if you're going to create pedestrian malls and so forth.
But suppose that we're only, you know, commercial traffic allowed, just for, you know.
I think
again,
it'd be,
this is we're just speculating here.
I think it'd be a unique experience, you know, in speculation. You do go to other cities across the world that do have tourist destinations, tourist districts that are much more pedestrian friendly and bike friendly. We work through our ambassador program to within the infrastructure we have to continue to provide awareness and identify the hazards that potentially can arise and address them head on.
Here's an issue that gets raised, especially when you have fairly inexperienced cyclists, you know, borrowing a bike, maybe haven't been riding in a while. And I want to bring in Ron from Honolulu. Ron, what's your concern?
Well, my concern is the fact that we have a lot of foreign tourists who are riding in the middle of the roads, like the Alawai or the Kalakaua Avenue. They don't have any rules to apply to them, at least what it appears. And the fact also that there's no helmets laws here. And that's very dangerous because they go down the Alawai. You can't see these people. They're just cutting across anywhere they want to go.
Have you had any complaints, you know, of that nature, Laurie, about safety? You know, the fact that you're borrowing a bike, you're not borrowing a helmet, and chances are you don't have one with you, right?
Yeah. Regarding the helmet law, you are required to wear a helmet if you're under 16. So we only rent to people who are over 16. It becomes your choice if you want to wear a helmet or not. So we do encourage people to wear helmets.
Regarding how many of your riders, I'm just curious, do you figure wear helmets?
A very small percentage.
Yeah.
And that's typical in most biking cities.
Yeah.
So from a safety side, I mentioned that more cyclists make things safer. From the standpoint of people who bike unsafely, of course, we don't want to see that, and I get scared when I see somebody do something that's not safe on a bike. We can't necessarily get them to ride safely. We can try to make sure that they understand what the rules are the best we can. But just like people who speed in their cars or jaywalk or whatever, there's always going to be sort of people who are taking chances or making things more dangerous for themselves than we would hope. So.
Well, I frequently, and I want to bring Brandon in on this, I frequently see people on a borrowed bike or even a rented moped who clearly haven't been on a bike or moped in quite some time and are kind of, you know, they're not trying to get to and from work. They're maybe slowing down, gawking by the side of the road. They have a whole different agenda. Plus, they haven't, a lot of them haven't been on a bike in a while. Do you see evidence of that, Brandon, in Waikiki?
Well, as Laurie mentioned, it's definitely, and the caller mentioned as well, it's definitely a concern for the visitor industry is when visitors come in, they're not familiar with our laws and biking etiquette and biking safety. So as I've mentioned in the past, through our Aloha Ambassador Program, we attempt to address it as we come across it within Waikiki. We have ambassadors on Kalakaua, Kuhio Avenue, they're riding throughout Alawai, Kapahulu, all the way down to the far Eva end. So we're attempting to address it as we come across it. Again, as Laurie mentioned, it's about educating them on the safety, but then you can't control necessarily how they operate. But if we come across them operating in an unsafe manner, we will attempt to address it.
So one thing I might add, though, is so there's 1,000 cities in the world with bike share and 60 on the mainland with bike share. The odds are that the visitors here are more familiar with biking and bike share than our residents are.
Yeah.
So I think you can't assume that it's a visitor that's not aware. Mm-hmm. And that goes for international visitors and what have you. Asia has lots of bike share programs. As Europe is probably the mecca for bike share programs.
They're probably better at it than we are.
So in that regard, the other thing is just talking about the Biki bike. If anybody has been on a Biki bike, it's a much different kind of experience than a regular bicycle in that it's a step-through frame. I ride it in a dress and heels. You put your feet down if you get uncomfortable. It's small and easy to maneuver. And so it's really designed for novice riders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen people as they've come to Biki bicycling basics that haven't been on a bike at all. And by the end of the ride, they're riding comfortably. So I know that a lot of my women friends are thinking they have to swing their leg over the seat to get on or what have you, or they can't ride in a dress and heels. And that's one of the things that we're letting people know is this is a different type of bike. It is built for safety. When you pedal it, lights automatically flash on the front and back. There's reflecting on the side. There's three gears. You sit straight up. I mean, there's just different things. It's a bright color. We chose the color so it would be visible.
Do you have any kind of numbers on safety record so far?
We've had no reported accidents. We've had somebody said that they scraped themselves, you know, when they stopped and fell over. I actually saw that. You know, sometimes when you're stopped and not paying attention, then you drop the bike, you know. So no, and we just hit 200,000 rides yesterday total. I know at some point there will be an incident. You know, as we get more and more rides, it's just going to happen, just like the more people that you have driving and what have you. And we're doing everything that we can in our power to try to not have that happen.
Ken from Honolulu has a concern about licensing fees. Ken, are you on the line?
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've ridden most of my life in every place from Colorado to Chicago, and I don't find Honolulu any less safe than any other city that I've been in. I do find that other cities require compliance with bicycle licensing, and that police are a little bit more enforcing of laws when they're infractions with bicycle rider errors. And we don't see too much of that enforcement here in Honolulu. And I'd really encourage the police to take a look at that. I'm real comfortable with riding a couple times work a month from Hawaii Kai all the way to Fort Island. And I think I've only had maybe three or four times where a car has either cut me off or been obnoxious. And yet I take a look at my own riding style and make sure that I take ownership for what infraction I might have been doing. And I encourage all of us as riders to be responsible and only wear helmets, license your bike, and be aware that that cars are a little bit bigger than us.
Those are encouraging words, Ken. Thank you.
All of the Beaky bikes are licensed, which is great. I sort of screwed up at the very beginning a little bit, but there are licensed. But totally agree with you, because the fees from the licensing fee go into education programs, particularly the education programs that Hawaii Bicycling League puts on for fourth graders. And so those kinds of things are really great, and it's great to see those funds go into education.
Lori, I'm just curious, in terms of data you mentioned with potential when new bikes may come, but in terms of your existing racks, there are some that, of course, are more popular than others. Have you been surprised in terms of where some racks are seemingly semi-empty and others are not so much?
Yeah, I think that when you get into this, you have, okay, here's what everybody else tells you, and then you go put it out and then figure it out. And what they told us was pretty much right. It's like, if it's a popular destination or origin, that means there's a lot of people that live in a concentrated area, and or it's a popular attraction and it has a safe place to bike and all of those things, that will get more people. If we look at our stations that are less used, they'll tend to be more in residential areas, but we want to serve residents. So we're keeping them there and then just figuring out how do we boost that, or they're hidden. When you think about it, each of the Beaky stops is like a little storefront. As you see them, then you start to be able to see if it will make sense for you. So if there's one that's tucked away somewhere and you don't see it, then it doesn't really exist.
We've got just a few minutes left, and there are three more calls on the line. So I want to bring in Ryan from Sand Island, who sounds like a pretty enthusiastic convert. Ryan?
Yeah, hi. So I live in Waikiki, and I work out here in a factory on Sand Island, and I love the Beaky program. So I was using it for about a month. Right after they first started, and I loved it so much that I actually went and purchased a good road bike so I can make the commute out here, since there aren't any Beaky stations out here, and I just love it. My commute by car is about 35 minutes, and my bike commute's 45 minutes, so I'm really not gaining any time driving. When I drive, I found that I'm arriving to work more stressed, and not as relaxed as when I bike commute. And so I found that it's a great heart healthy thing to do.
Yeah,
and I just
gonna
love
say
it.
Well, that's a healthy commute, that's a healthy distance, but you do feel the effects physically, don't you?
Yes, there's only a couple of places along Nimitz Highway that it's a little bit scary, because there is there is no shoulder or bike lane.
Right.
But what I found in that situation is, I did go and I purchased all the reflectors for my bike. I have reflective clothing that I wear, the lights. I do wear a helmet. So those few places that I have to take the lane. I found that you just got to be confident and use your hand signals. Just like when you drive, you have to drive. You have to ride your bike defensively. And it took me a little time to get used to actually riding in the lane with cars, but now it's, you know, I actually found it's less stressful than driving.
It's good to hear a success story, Ryan. Thank you. Maggie from Kalihi has a comment about the roads, condition of roads in Honolulu. Hi, Maggie.
Hello. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
So I just wanted to, first of all, I want to thank Honolulu drivers because they are some of the most considerate drivers I've experienced. I've been riding my bike for 20 years. I sold my car 6 years ago. And I just wanted to ask the Biki people if they have any intention of working with the city on our road conditions, because as a rider, that is probably the most dangerous thing I deal with on a daily basis, is trying to switch lanes, figure out, you know, my route into the next lane, avoiding the potholes and the other debris that might be in the road while trying to stay safe.
Well, that kind of is what we were addressing earlier, the whole idea that demand creates infrastructure, you know, the cart creates the horse or whatever.
And absolutely, we talk to them every day, and totally with you on that, from safe places to ride to conditions on the road where you're not getting tipped over by a pothole or whatever. Totally with you. And so we do talk with them all the time. They do have the Complete Streets program, which is when a street is up for repaving, then they look to see if it can be improved from an infrastructure standpoint to make it safer for pedestrians and bicyclists and cars.
Well, it's clear from the sheer volume of calls we've gotten in the last 20 minutes or so, about half a dozen at least calls. There's a lot of interest in this. So I thank you both, and Bill Dorman, our news director, for being with us. Lori McCarney is the executive director of Biki Bike Share Hawaii. Brandon Barber is vice president of operations for the Waikiki Business Improvement District Association. Final thoughts? Are you optimistic, Brandon?
I'm very optimistic, as I mentioned right off the bat. We're here as an organization to enhance the experience in Waikiki, and we definitely think Biki has a place to end that vision.
Lori, I know you're optimistic, right?
I'm optimistic, and I'm excited to see the support that we've received and the people who are discovering the ability to get out on a bike and use that instead of their car and have a smile on their face when they're doing it.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks to everyone for coming, and thanks to all our callers for weighing in with their opinions.